I'm Brandi Cruz. Coming up today on Undivided, a female wrestler in Puyallup, Washington is now suing the state of Washington over allegations that her trans opponent assaulted her on the mat and the school did nothing about it. Plus, video of a man attacking a female signature gatherer, then making off with voter data. And a state lawmaker cries during an ethics hearing. That and much more coming up today on Undivided. Remember, you can support our show for just $5 a month by signing up at UndividedPod.com. That's UndividedPod.com. Click on the banner that says support the show. Hello, hello, and welcome to Undivided. Thank you for being here. Thank you so much for your commitment to giving common sense a comeback. We start the show with some breaking news. We were the first to tell you about the story of Callie Keeler. Callie is a sophomore heading into her junior year at Rogers High School in Puyallup, Washington. We told you about how Callie, a wrestler for the school, says she was sexually assaulted on the mat by who she later found out was a transgender opponent for another school within the district. Here's video of that.
Get to your base! Get
you
to your base!
See the moment right there where Callie says get that to this your opponent
base.
Violated her in a way she never experienced.
Like that.
That she says was totally outside the norm for anything she'd ever experienced in all her years wrestling. She reported it to a coach, said she felt as if she was sexually assaulted, later found out that this, who she thought was a female opponent, was not a female opponent, was a biological boy. It took the school district 2 months to report the allegation of the assault to police. And this morning, the Alliance Defending Freedom has filed a lawsuit against the superintendent of public instruction and multiple individuals within the Puyallup School District on Callie Keeler's behalf. The named defendants in the case are the Washington Interscholastic Activities Association, the Washington Office of Superintendent of Public Instruction, Chris Reichdahl specifically as well in his official capacity, the Puyallup School District, the Puyallup School District's Title IX coordinator, Gordon Brobbery in his official and individual capacity, as well as Rogers High School principal Jason Smith and Emerald Ridge High School coach John Morrison, both of whom Callie Keeler and emails show knew of the allegation of sexual assault but did not report it as required under state law. And I have to say, the entire complaint is worth reading, but the first line in this complaint says it all. Lies hurt people, in this case, girls. And that is the truth of what we are dealing with here. It is a lie to pretend that a biological boy is a girl. In this case, Callie was lied to by omission. She didn't know she would be wrestling a boy. The state law and the state policies of the WIAA and the Office of Superintendent of Public Instruction say that's perfectly fine, that you can put a girl on a mat with a boy and hide from her that it's a boy. And look, wrestling, especially in the younger years, girls wrestle boys wrestle girls, but they know what's happening. They have a choice to decide whether they want to compete against a biological boy. And in this case, Callie wasn't given a choice, because in this state, we put the comfort and the desires and the identity of transgender students and transgender student athletes above everyone else. They don't get equal treatment, they get special treatment. They don't get equal treatment and protections under the law, they get special protections under the law. Enough is enough. So this lawsuit officially filed this morning. We're joined today by Kate Anderson. She's the senior counsel for Alliance Defending Freedom, as well as Callie Keeler and her mom, Stephanie. Callie, Stephanie, Kate, welcome to Undivided.
Thanks for having us on the show.
Yeah, and I should say, Callie, welcome back. Since last time we spoke, I know that the story kind of took on a life of its own. How have things been for you?
They've been like pretty stressful at school with people coming up to me constantly asking me about everything.
Stephanie, I know, you know, we've had phone conversations since this all went public, but what has it been like as a mom just to try to help her through all of this? I mean, what happened and then sort of the attention that resulted from it?
As her mom, there was quite in the beginning, there was quite a bit of, anxiety and stress because, she was anxious and going through stuff, and I obviously have my own feelings about it. So it was kind of hard to process that and also, be there to support her through it all.
Kate, when and why did the Alliance Defending Freedom get involved?
We got involved because this is a situation that never should have happened. Washington State has a policy not to protect women in their sports, and that policy is politically driven and it's dangerous for women and girls. We're seeing girls need to have an opportunity to participate in their sports that they love, to do so with fairness, but also with safety. Something like this never should have happened, and yet the school district assigned Callie to be wrestling against a male athlete and didn't tell her or her mother. So they couldn't make that choice ahead of time. And then the school continues to maintain that policy and not change any of it. It took 2 months and this to become a public event for people to even start to investigate it. And then that investigation has continued to not make any progress. So the only way to make sure that this kind of thing doesn't happen to Callie again or to another girl in the state was this lawsuit. And so the lawsuit is raising claims under federal law, Title IX, as well as parental rights issues. Stephanie was not informed that her daughter would be matched to wrestle against a male athlete and would not have put her on the mat if she had known. And the school continues to say they won't tell her the next time that they match Callie against a male athlete, and they won't tell Callie. So the litigation has become necessary to make sure that we can bring about policy change to protect all girls in this state.
Callie, where are you standing with things? Because you're going to be a junior next year, right? Junior
Yeah.
next year. Have you decided whether you're going to return to wrestling or not?
If I stay at Rogers, I'm not going to return to wrestling, but if I decide to transfer schools, I will probably do wrestling.
Callie wants to be able to wrestle again, but this is a sport she's done since she was four. But with the school saying they will match her against another male student and not tell her and not tell her mom and not do anything to protect her in the future, that leaves her with the choice to either stop the sport she loves or to make the to try to go forward with it and then just hope that she can figure it out and forfeit in time.
Yeah, but I would say, Kate, and have you respond to this, it's not just about Rogers. It's a statewide policy that they allow boys to compete against girls, and there's no mandate to tell the female athletes ahead of time. So it really doesn't matter whether she's at Rogers or anywhere else, does it?
Correct. At Rogers, she has the unique problem of these were the coaches who didn't protect her before and have treated her the way they have after. As she's able to transfer to another high school, that gives her more opportunity to start over with other coaches that she has a better opportunity to trust. But this is a statewide policy, a policy that goes all the way up to the state officials here, who have been maintaining over and over again that this is how sports work in our state, and they are not going to protect women's fairness or their privacy and safety.
The main reason I want to switch schools for wrestling is to just try and get like a clean slate and like start over.
Stephanie, that's got to anger you that that's something she feels like she has to do.
I mean, yeah, it does because, she has, friends and ties to Rogers where she goes, and it's sad that she feels like she needs to change schools because she feels very unsupported and she feels like it's not a safe environment for her to be in to continue sports there under these same coaches. So yeah, it is definitely a little bit upsetting.
Yeah. And Kate, there's a couple cases that are pending right now that I think will be relevant, but you're, know more on the legal aspect of it than I do. For instance, we're still waiting for SCOTUS to make a ruling on boys and girls sports. If SCOTUS rules that that's not acceptable, does that impact this case?
It could. It depends on how the Supreme Court rules. What's in front of the Supreme Court right now are several states that pass laws to protect women's sports and allow them fairness and privacy and safety in the athletics that they love. And so that was challenged, and the Supreme Court is deciding whether a state can protect women. It's not necessarily going to reach the issue of whether a state must protect women, which is why Callie's case is so important, is that you're going to continue to have states like Washington that believe in this political policy and will not protect women. And so cases like this will force the courts to deal with that piece of it too.
Yeah, and Callie and Stephanie, I want to end with you. Stephanie, you first. You saw the amount of tension out there, the first time around when there were headlines. You got to see what that you know, meant for your daughter, this is going to bring about another round of headlines and more focus on her. I mean, how concerned are you about that?
I mean, I'm a little bit concerned about it just because I don't want it to affect her mental health any more than this entire situation already has. The one thing that we saw a lot of is like people thought her story was fake or thought that she shouldn't be wrestling if she couldn't handle these types of things happening to her. And, you know, this is a sport that she loves, and I just want her to be able to participate and feel safe, just like any other, you know, student in the schools or in public schools who are participating in these sports. And so, I am kind of glad that school is coming to an end next week so that, you know, she can maybe not be as impacted by it coming, you know, full circle again as she was the first time.
Yeah. And Kelly, I'm going to ask you this and be as honest as you want to be. It's been a long time since we first talked about this, and it's definitely been a long road, and this is going to continue. If I could go back and ask you all over again if you wanted to tell your story or not tell your story, would you choose not to?
I would still choose to. That way, like, people are aware of what happens and, like, that it's okay to speak up about the things that happen, even if they make you uncomfortable. So I would still choose to share my story.
And that's a lot of bravery coming from a teenage girl. And it's a shame that she has to be the one to be brave. I say this a million times. I mean, you've got adults in the state of Washington who have put her and put that trans wrestler, frankly, in the position that they're in right now. It's outrageous. And I keep going back to the question that some of these teen girls have asked publicly over and over. What about fairness for us? There's all this conversation, and all the leaders in our state seem to care about is being fair to transgender athletes and transgender kids. Fair. Fair for them means unfair for girls. And they don't care about the girls. It's insane we've got to this position. But again, Alliance Defending Freedom now filing a lawsuit on behalf of Callie Keeler and her family against a number of individuals who were involved in this situation in various ways. The WIAA and the Superintendent of Public Instruction for pushing the policies that put Callie in this position. And then specifically individuals in the Puyallup School District who knew what happened to her and did not, as required by law, report it to police. A theme we've heard and seen over and over in the state of Washington. Mandatory reporters not reporting as mandated by state law. So we'll be following this lawsuit very closely. Again, it just was dropped before the show today. We did speak to Callie and her mom and attorney yesterday because we knew the lawsuit was coming. We were anticipating it, but officially filed this morning. So we'll be reaching out to the Office of Superintendent of Public Instruction and the other individuals named in the suit for their response to it. Coming up next, insane video. Yet another signature gatherer trying to collect signatures to repeal the unconstitutional income tax, assaulted, and this time the culprit got away and made off with signatures of voters. So what is the latest on the investigation? We'll give you the down low. First, summer means a laundry list of things to do outside your house. But rather than spending time, I mean, you're already going to mow the lawn, whatever it is. Rather than spending time doing things outdoors, enjoy the outdoors with your family and friends and leave it up to our friends at Valentine Roofing. If you've got some exterior home improvements that need to be made, maybe you need your gutters cleaned, your roof cleaned, exterior cleaning, or it's time for a new roof. Get that out of the way so you can enjoy your summer, enjoy your yard, enjoy your time off. So go to call them at 206 Roofing for a free estimate on any of those exterior projects that you might need. And right now, qualified homeowners can take advantage of $0 down, 0% financing with 6 months deferred interest when paid in full within the promotional period. Of course, financing is subject to approved credit, but they do have some fantastic financing options. So call 206 Roofing. Schedule a free estimate today. And when you see that red Valentine van pulling up in your driveway, you'll know you're in good hands. Make sure you tell them you heard about them right here on Undivided. Before I get to this new insane video of yet another attack on the democratic process, since we were on the subject of boys and girls sports, I wanted to read for you a response we got from the Libertarian Party of Washington. You might recall, I believe it was Monday's show, right? I criticized them because they put up an absolutely unhinged Pride Month post. Actually, it was several posts. But, you know, the graphics themselves weren't like so much of an issue. You know, they had one that said, the Second Amendment isn't a group right, it's my right, and love freely, defend fiercely, self-defense is a human right. And look, I'm like, okay, those are fine if you want to put up some sort of Pride Month post, like no big deal. But then in the post that went along with it, they got into like, oh, you know, defend, you have a right to defend yourself if society thinks you're different or unusual or something like this, and you have a right to defend your rights. And I took it as like, okay, in Washington state, what are the rights of transgender people? Like for boys to use girls' bathrooms and for boys to compete against girls? Are you saying they should use guns to force themselves into girls' spaces if girls protest? And I had reached out to them for comment, and I did finally get a response from Michael Pickens, who's the chairman of the Libertarian Party of Washington, in response to my question about, are you saying that they should use a gun, trans people should use guns to defend their right to enter a girl's space? He said, no, the right to self-defense is not the right to force yourself into someone else's space. Libertarianism supports equal rights for everyone and special rights for no one. LGBTQ plus people have the same right to defend themselves from violence as anyone else, but nobody has the right to use force to impose their preferences on others. He said, as a father of two daughters, ages 12 and 18, I strongly believe in protecting the privacy, safety, and dignity of women and girls. Respecting individual rights means respecting everyone's rights, not just the rights of the group we happen to agree with. I also think many people today have lost sight of what rights actually are. Rights are not permissions granted by politicians, courts, or majorities. Rights are inherent to every individual and exist precisely to protect people from coercion, whether that coercion comes from a criminal, a mob, or even a government acting with majority support. One of the concerns I have with politics in Washington state and our nation is the growing belief that if enough people vote for something, government has the authority to impose it on everyone else. A majority vote may determine what government does, but it does not determine what is right, nor does it erase the individual rights of those who disagree. I think that's very well said, and I'm glad to hear that. They were freaking me out a little bit. You know, I love the weird libertarians. They're odd ducks, but they're my friends, and it was freaking me out a little bit, the notion that they thought, yeah, you've been granted this right by the government, and so you can enforce it with guns. And I think Michael Pickens gave a very good explanation of what that post meant, and so I am happy to share their thoughts and correct the record on that. All right, this is nuts. So 6 years in a row, 10 initiatives in a row, left-wing radicals and insane, unhinged people have been disrupting the lawful gathering of signatures. Every single Let's Go Washington initiative that has happened so far. The latest victim are signature gatherers who are out there collecting voter signatures to repeal the unconstitutional income tax. They've been harassed. They've had, you know, their signature sheets vandalized, and now they've been assaulted. So this is a video taken by a female signature gatherer who was in Puyallup at a Safeway yesterday. It was in Puyallup, right? I'm not mistaken that. In Puyallup at a Safeway yesterday. Here's what happened.
Give me these boards back. These people want to be...
Just petitioning outside.
These people...
Illegally.
We have no... My assistant...
So do you want these or do you want me to take them?
You cannot take those. What are you doing? Call the police.
How about not petitioning?
Call the police. Call the police. Call the police.
How about not petitioning when you're not supposed to, huh? Yeah, you can't read.
The cops are letting me stay.
The cops are... You're not above the law.
Alderwood. Alderwood case lets me be here.
Alderwood.
Yes.
No.
Private property, public access. Look it up.
Okay.
You are taking a legal document that is illegal. You need to give it back to me.
Yeah, that's what I do.
Give it back to me. It's not too late.
Have a great day.
Give me back those papers.
Absolutely outrageous. She gives him multiple chances.
You're gonna be prosecuted. Don't do anything stupid. Don't do anything stupid. What you're doing is wrong and you know it.
Hey, how about showing your face? Oh, you can't, can you? Oh, come on. Let's see it. come on, show your face. Yeah, you won't, will you? You won't show it because you know you're illegal, right? Yeah, have a great day.
So he thinks he's and drives off, leaves with the signature gatherer says that she had the forms he took had 20 to 25 voter signatures on them. So he's interfered in the signature gathering process. He assaulted her. And he, at this point, and we have a close-up of the guy if anybody knows him. I mean, police know who it is. The Pierce County Sheriff's Office responded very quickly. And they, of course, she got a video of his license plate. And they went to his house, which was nearby. He wasn't there. As of this moment, they have not recovered those voter signatures. Which, you know, I think the charges in that instance would be pretty serious. And I do know, thank God, that this landed in the realm of the Pierce County Sheriff's Office, because I know Keith Swank is and will take this incredibly seriously. And we're still, we've had a couple people who've identified this individual. I would like to have a little more clarity, because police aren't just going to give us the name, right, until they make an arrest in the case. And so if you know this guy, if you know what he's all about or anything about him, but he, you know, seems to believe that since Safeway has a sign up saying, you know, we don't allow these signature gatherers here, that he can take it upon himself to steal initiative forms with voter signatures on them. And he says to her, oh, well, let me get your face because you're here illegally, basically. I mean, he doesn't mean like illegally in the country. He means illegally at the Safeway, I'm pretty sure. And it's perfectly fine for me to steal these and drive away with them. Now, the first priority of the Pierce County Sheriff's Office is to get the signatures back, obviously, and I know they're trying to do that if this man hasn't destroyed them already. And then, of course, their plan is to arrest him for misdemeanor assault, for assaulting her while she was documenting what was happening. And I'm glad she did. I'm glad that she started to record and had it on video. In the video, you see like a, there's a Safeway manager, not the one he's talking to, a different one who doesn't do anything, doesn't step in to help her. Nobody steps in to do anything. It's absolutely outrageous. And, you know, I tagged the Attorney General, Nick Brown, and the governor in this. And I'm like, are you happy yet? Is this what you guys all want? Because you won't do anything besides some strongly worded posts, hardly strong, but, you know, some posts on X condemning this sort of behavior. But if the roles were reversed, you would have a press conference. You'll be looking into the organizations that have been posting snitch lines and all this stuff. You would do a hell of a lot more. They need to have a press conference and let people know we're taking this seriously. And, you know, we don't just care about defending your constitutional rights when we think Donald Trump violates them. We care about defending your constitutional rights here in the state of Washington, regardless of who violates them. But I just don't think that they do. And, you know, the AG's office isn't the entity that would go out and arrest this guy. Obviously, that would be the Pierce County Sheriff's Office. But I think that this is all part of a broader scheme to try to stop these initiatives from being successful. And if I could be honest about this guy, can you pull his picture back up? Doesn't scream left-wing wacko to me. Between the hat and how he looks and the truck, he could be a guy who is a real big believer in private property rights, who isn't. And he thinks he's doing Safeway a favor by having this chick, you know, by stealing her signatures and her forms. I have no idea. And you know what? I don't care. I don't care if he turns out to be a right-wing nut job. He is interfering in the democratic process. He assaulted a woman and deserves to be prosecuted to the fullest extent of the law. Now, thankfully, despite and in spite of all of this harassment and even assaults, the signature gathering continues to go very well for Let's Go Washington. In the third week, and I need to clarify from them, is this how many they have total, or is this how many were collected in the third week?
I believe this is total counted so far. So they might have more. This is what they've counted so far.
Yeah, 200, mm-hmm. almost 250,000. So, and that would make sense if that's how many they've collected so far in 3 weeks total. 242,699 signatures. They're well on their way to the roughly 400,000 that they need. And I bet they'd have a lot more if people weren't out there harassing signature gatherers. Just outrageous. All right. On the income tax initiative, really quickly, the Center Square got its hands on a memo. They did some public records requests. I don't know if I think this is promising or not, but it's a memo from Attorney General Nick Brown's office to Democratic state lawmakers. And this is while they were going through this dated March 7th, 2025, which is very interesting to me because that's like 8 months before we knew they were going to introduce an income tax on quote unquote millionaires. So they've been thinking about it for a long time, and then they finally acted on it, right? But this is basically the Attorney General's office giving lawmakers legal advice on how they can violate the state constitution. But in it, they say, you know, they're basically giving a legal analysis of whether the tax that they were planning on wealth or on wealthy people would withstand constitutional muster. It says questions presented, and it talks about whether it would violate the uniformity clause. It says, short answer, it is difficult to predict the outcome, but it is a realistic possibility for a court to find that it violates uniformity. So at least, you know, you read more of it, and they're trying to structure it. And they're clearly trying to ping all these questions of the Attorney General's office. Like, well, what if we do this? Could we get it passed a court? What if we do this? What if we do this? I mean, they're actively colluding on how to just throw our state constitution in the trash and light it on fire. But even the AG's office says realistic possibility that a court could overturn it. So maybe regardless of what happens in November, the state Supreme Court will make the right decision, but I don't have an awful lot of faith there. All right, State Representative Tara Simmons this week spent hours and hours sitting in a public ethics hearing against her, and she got quite emotional at one point. We'll discuss it in our segment Unbelievable coming up next. First, I've encouraged you guys to take the First Mark Challenge, firstmarkinsurance.com, firstmarkinsurance.com. The very best part is they work for you, not the insurance companies. So they always have your best interest in mind. And your best interest might be that they turn your business away and say, actually, we tried to save you money and get you better insurance, but we couldn't do it. Congratulations. And then you can leave with a peace of the mind that you have the best insurance and pat yourself on the back. Pat, 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 pat. Or they'll say, hey, great news. We can save you hundreds of dollars a month, thousands of dollars a year by switching to FirstMark. That has happened for so many undivided viewers and listeners. Robin says, I'm saving $100 a month, $100 a month. She says, thank you. Man, that'll help you make up the cost of the increased gas. Mike and I love their follow-up and their customer service. You know, they saved Mike and I $2,000 on our renewals this year, and we didn't lift a finger, which was just so awesome. FirstMarkInsurance.com, FirstMarkInsurance.com. The very best part is they work for you, as I said, not the insurance company. So they're going to do what's right for you, no matter what. And with that, let's get to our segment, Unbelievable. Did you see I put my new mug by my spaceship? Can't really see it. Maybe I need to move it. Yeah, you can't see it at all. Okay, failure. I love that mug. It's one of my new favorite pieces of property. If you weren't watching, a viewer made us like a hand-painted mug to mimic our Unbelievable open. And now I'm kind of conflicted because I had planned to update the Unbelievable open a little bit, but now I can't because it won't match my mug anymore. What am I supposed to do? I don't know. All right, so back in May, we learned about State Rep Tara Simmons facing some pretty serious ethics allegations. So Tara Simmons, of course, is the first formerly incarcerated person to be elected to the state house, maybe in the entire country. And as a result, you know, she had like a drug background and stuff, spent time in prison, got out, was elected to the legislature. And she's really focused primarily on helping other people who are incarcerated or formerly incarcerated. And she's allegedly focused on helping herself and her boyfriend. So the complaint was twofold. Well, kind of threefold or fourfold, if you will, depends how you divvy it up. So she is accused of helping her friend's coalition, the American Equity and Justice Group, get $250,000 in the state budget allocated to them. So basically a little bit of nepotism, if you will, with state money. She's also accused of then using her influence as a legislature who is able to help them get all this money to try to get and get successfully her boyfriend a job with the coalition. And they're like, well, we don't have money to hire anyone right now. She's like, that's okay. Oh, this is all allegedly. And she allegedly used money from her surplus campaign account to give them the money to pay her boyfriend, which is interesting. And then she allegedly secured another $500,000 grant in state funding from for a state nonprofit or for a nonprofit that she was contracted to work with. So a lot of like wheeling and dealing and self-serving in there, okay? So what's fascinating is that her ethics complaint had a public hearing, and it played out over 2 days, over hours and hours and hours of testimony. Now look, her goose is cooked, okay? I mean, the amount of evidence absolutely overwhelming. And I don't know that the facts of this are really in dispute. Like, she says, oh, he's not my boyfriend. And then they have like a Facebook post where she's like, oh, with my love or something like this on vacation. It's clearly her boyfriend or her lover. OK, so she's cooked. They're absolutely going to find her guilty. So what else could she do? She testifies, right? And she's got to try to find a way out of this. So she plays the victim. And I don't know if it's real tears or crocodile tears, but during her opening, you know, Q&A and remarks, she sobbed a little bit.
I mean, I grew up in really difficult beginnings. I was in foster care and was in jail, in juvenile detention, jail, prison. Had a really rough life. And so the fact that I'm even here is really, I'm the first in the nation who's been incarcerated, who became a state representative. And that's why I take this very seriously.
Kleenex.
I think that I bring a lot of, you know, something that's missing that has been missing here. And I'm able to help my colleagues understand the barriers of, like, people who have come from, you know, different kinds of system involvement.
Fine. I don't disagree with any of that. Doesn't mean you get to violate ethics laws. But of course, it's the woe is me sort of victim mentality. I have always said that I think Tara Simmons has a great story in terms of her ability to turn her life around. I don't particularly love the things that she's prioritized in the state legislature, but anyone who can go to prison and have that background and go on to do other things is great, except if you go on to violate ethics laws, then it's like, okay, are you really showing that you've turned your life around? Allegedly violate ethics laws. We'll wait till they have the official finding. So I'm not going to sit here and go through, like, point by point, the evidence and the retort, because she just does not have a case. So I thought I'd focus on some of the more interesting aspects of her hearing, or the more entertaining aspects, like the dog that she has in her lap. She has this dog with her everywhere she goes, and sometimes she has her dog on the floor of the state legislature. And I've always wondered, like, clearly it has to be some sort of service animal, but why, you know, she has it, or why she thinks she needs it. And she was asked about that and explained, so I thought I'd play it.
She kind of helps me stay more in the present in real extreme pressure-y type situations, which anybody who's been a legislator can know when we're sitting on the House floor. And if there's a bill that's we really care about, or something's happening that we really hate, it can impact anybody. But for me, it might be a little bit worse because of my ACEs score of 10. And so having my service animal has been really helpful. I just got her a couple of years ago, and it wasn't something I wanted. I wasn't like a dog lover. It was actually prescribed and trained with her, all kinds of things. And it has helped me be more successful in my role as a legislator.
Okay. I mean, I don't know. What do you say? What do you say to that? If you need a service dog, I guess you need a service dog. And she said it helps her in stressful situations. And I imagine having a public ethics hearing is a pretty stressful situation. And frankly, if I get my dog certified as a service dog, I'd have my dog with me everywhere I go. So I'm not even going to knock the woman for that. Also just something I thought was interesting. So a lot of her own texts are very incriminating, right? And for instance, there was an exchange about a guy named Chris Stanley. So Chris Stanley works at the administrative office of the courts in Washington State. And specifically, he had been part of review and oversight of the contracts and the budget provisos involving these organizations that are all tied up in this. And so he had actually advised at one point the American Equity and Justice Group, talking, you know, warning them about doing due diligence with their subcontractors. And in January 2025, when there were questions about these contracts and these payments, he had advised American Equity and Justice Group, you shouldn't give this Equity and Education Coalition any other money until they demonstrate they're actually doing work. So this guy was at the center of this case, warning these nonprofits about the sort of conduct that they were engaged in. And so apparently he ended up testifying before a committee that Tara Simmons was sitting on in an unrelated matter. And she's texting her boyfriend, just talking smack about him.
So you write there, did you ever talk to Chris Stanley? He's testifying before me now. That's your text?
To Anthony, yes.
Yeah. And are you talking about that you were sitting in the legislature and he was testifying before you?
Yes.
Okay. And you use I'm no expert on these emojis, but is that the rolling on the floor laughing emoji?
Yes.
Okay. I'm just trying to understand. Do you view Mr. Stanley as a joke, or what's the joke here? What am I missing?
No, I just am an emoji type of person.
I'm just an emoji kind of person. I definitely wasn't saying he was a joke or his testimony was stupid or anything like that. And I want to clarify, we aren't sure if that went to the boyfriend or went to a friend of hers. It was Anthony Powers, but I'm not sure if that's the boyfriend or a friend of hers. But I mean, honestly, her goose is absolutely cooked. And so it's no surprise that she's using the victim card, talking about her background, all these things. Your background might actually have something to do with why you have conducted yourself in the way you have on an ethics front, but your background's not going to get you out of this one. So you can do the fake tears and all of that, but we'll see what happens. They're asking for some closing remarks in writing from both sides. They want them within 2 weeks, so I imagine it'll be more than 2 weeks before we have an official ruling from the State Ethics Commission on Tara Simmons. All right, we'll get to national news coming up next. First, a lot of stuff happening with energy right now, of course, given what's happening in the Middle East. Energy affects everything. It affects inflation, transportation, manufacturing, global markets. So let our friend Zach Abraham at Bulwark Capital give you a second opinion on your retirement portfolio, just to make sure that your money manager is focused enough on energy and the risks that it could have to your retirement portfolio. So as part of a free Know Your Risk portfolio review, Zach and his team will explain how every market is driven by energy, the impact energy has on inflation, and how that could potentially affect your retirement planning, plus a full reveal of how Bulwark is focused on risk management, always looking for opportunities to lower risk, lower cost, give your retirement as much upside as possible. You can also, while you're at knowyourriskpodcast.com, subscribe to Zach's daily podcast, find out how to subscribe to him across all the social media platforms, and follow him, knowyourriskpodcast.com, knowyourriskpodcast.com. All right. In national/local, there's a little bit of a tie here. So Governor Bob Ferguson, of course, he can't fix the real problems in our state. And so he's coming up with all these little things that he can have press conferences on and say, yay, look what I'm doing. One of them was the menopause protections, which I don't want people to get mad at me again. I understand menopause is a real thing. Perimenopause might even be a real thing. I just don't think we need an executive order from the governor of the state of Washington to increase protections for women in the workplace. I think you can kind of lump it in with, hey, you know, if people are sick or dealing with an issue, let's just make sure that they have what they need to be successful in the workplace. But I think he focuses on that because it's a little like win for him with a base that he can do. So then he had an announcement yesterday that one of his legislative priorities for the upcoming year is going to be banning cell phones in all classrooms in public schools in Washington.
Without phones, research shows students are more engaged socially and academically. And when bans are clear and consistent, both teachers and students report feeling more connected and more engaged. Studies show teenagers spend, on average, roughly a quarter of their school day on their cell phones. Over a school year, that's missing literally about 40 school instruction days lost. I am determined to use the bully pulpit of my office, to use the resources of my office. You'll be hearing about this all through this year.
I'm sure
you'll hear about my State of the State address. We need to get this done.
Yeah, and he had some less memes, more math, or something like that. Now, look, I don't disagree with the notion that kids, we need to get their cell phones away from them. And when they're at school, they need to be focused on school. But I do think a couple things. I think it's rich that he's talking about less memes, more math. I don't think you can blame entirely the phones for what's happening with our public education system. Test scores in all areas have been on a consistent decline. You know, and some of that might be the way they're integrating technology into the classroom, and kids aren't really learning the way that they used to learn. But I have a feeling they're now testing out this new narrative that it's the kids having their cell phones that are the reason the math scores are so low. No, it's like this idea that, oh, no kid can fail. No kid's a failure. It's totally fine. We'll let you graduate anyway. No, you need to make sure that the kids learn and then that you test them on what they've learned, and there's consequences for them, like there will be in real life if they didn't learn or do what they were supposed to do. But also, I'm concerned at this juncture about taking phones away from kids at school, because a lot of the stuff that we find out about, it's because kids have their phones at school. I mean, we have, gosh, I think of the Olympia teacher, sixth grade teacher, who went on a crazy rant about Ronald Reagan being a racist and Trayvon Martin and just spreading lies to kids. And a sixth grader had their phone, recorded it, and this story just blew up. So much of what we get. I'm scared it's because they want to continue their indoctrination of kids, and they're worried that too many of these stories are getting out there. So they're like, no, we can't let the kids record what we're saying and doing in classrooms. So that scares me a little bit. I don't know that I love that. I love the idea, but in Washington State, I might want these kids to have their phones. But the Dutch are taking things a step further than just trying to take, you know, phones away from kids while they're at school, or have kids hide their phones while they're at school. They are looking at prohibiting children from making money at all as influencers. So the Dutch government is going to ban kidfluencers, they call them, saying no kids under 16 can make commercial content on social media. So this would be stuff like, you know, unboxing videos, videos by family vloggers. They say children are being used as a revenue model. It's effectively child labor and must be treated as such. It says children appearing online in family vlogs and other videos with a wide reach can face significant risks, including a loss of privacy or a negative self-image, especially when children are used as a revenue model by companies or parents. Okay, so I wanted to ask you guys about this in our daily subscriber show poll on Patreon, Locals, and X. I said, should kids under 16 be allowed to make money off of social media? Yes or no? And I didn't do under 18 because I wanted it to be a direct comparison to what the Dutch are doing. I think under 18 could be a conversation as well. But for now, we'll focus on this. So, Nicole, should kids under 16 be allowed to make money off social media? You actually have a friend, don't you, whose kid makes money off social media?
Oh, they're older now, though.
Oh, okay, okay. Yeah. But they started when they were younger.
College, so not this young.
Oh, okay.
But yeah, I would say should make money off social media. No, I don't think they should be able to. And I also think they shouldn't have cell phones in class. But I think that there should be cameras in class. I think yes. That there should be cameras watching every class. That would solve that problem.
That's true. Live stream the classes to parents.
They
parents
do it for daycares. They do it for preschools. Why not?
Yeah, I am really torn on this just because I don't love too much government intervention in anything. And you start to just regulate and regulate what should be regulated by parents, right? Like a parent should make the decision as to what their kid can be doing online. So I really struggle with this. Now, in theory, do I think kids under 16 should be making money off social media? No, in theory, I don't. But I have to say, even though there's crappy parents out there, at the end of the day, if we start regulating too much of what parents can allow their kids to do, I just think we get into this very dangerous territory.
But do you disagree with laws against child labor? Do you think they should be able to work? I agree they should be able to pick berries on farms.
Yeah, I mean, I worked at 15,
yeah,
you know, so I don't know. I mean, I think it comes down to how young, like how young is too young. Obviously, right. The government has reasonable limits on things. And do I think there are parents who absolutely exploit their kids online? Mm-hmm. Yeah, of course. I mean, you had that one couple that exploited their unborn child who they ended up aborting because they had Down syndrome. Right. Like these people, there are some people who are absolutely shameless. You guys are with Nicole on this, though. 70% of you say no, kids under 16 shouldn't be allowed to make money off social media. You know, maybe if it's put in like a trust or something and only the kid can access it after they're 18,
well,
I don't know.
So I think it's a difference between working for something and performing. And these kids are performing. So it's almost like an elephant in a circus.
Yeah, well.
But you're performing and I don't think that's okay.
Well, Patrick has a good comment that sort of touches on this. He says, tough. There have always been child actors, right? They made money the parents managed and probably blew on cars and vacations before the kids came of age. We need to stop being helicopter parents. And that's a good point. You're always going to need child actors, right? Commercials and all this stuff. Are you saying they shouldn't be paid?
Well,
they shouldn't be able to do it? And is this any different? Like you said, they're performing.
Yeah, so, there is a difference in the way that they're managed, though, because they have very strict rules around child actors, and you have to educate this much of the day. You can only work this much of the day. So if you could regulate to that extent, then maybe. But right now, that's not possible. You can't, you know, go into people's homes and make sure they're teaching their kids and only letting them create a social media
post. Don't challenge the government, because they probably will. CND Boss on Locals says, oof, this is a hard one. I voted yes grudgingly. If kids are allowed on social media at all, the parents should be monitoring what they're doing closely. Parents, not schools, not teachers, not the government. Parents. Yeah, I'm still there. Julianne said, kids need to be limited on social media with parental controls and Facebook accounts. I don't think so. The reason is kids are going to get on social media at school or elsewhere, so parents need to be involved and control it. Parents can monitor or shut things down. Yeah, and I've even been opposed to like some of these major lawsuits against the social media companies because they didn't, you know, they're exposing kids to all these things. It's like, yeah, but the parents at the end of the day, your kid in today's digital age, they can get a hold of all sorts of stuff. You'll never be able to fully regulate the government, what a child can see online or do online. So it comes down to parenting. I don't know how to get around that. Yeah. Alice says, I did not vote. Oh, you really felt that strongly that you couldn't decide. You didn't even vote. But if kids can make money picking strawberries and vegetables, why can't they make money on social media? We all had jobs when we were pretty young because we lived in rural Washington, and that's just what you did. You picked things when it was time. We were all excited to have jobs. I have mixed feelings because I think kids should be able to go to work in the summer. The current Washington regulations make it so they can't. Tough.
There's some,
might be my best poll ever.
I think they can for some. Like there is a berry picking, like a farm. Like there's an okay to that. And again, it's only a certain amount of hours, only when it's not the school day. Things like that. So it's like the child acting. They're kind of regulating that somehow. But
yeah,
anyway,
sick of asking the government to regulate things because parents can't be good parents. Right.
Be a good parent.
Yes. All right. Graham Plattner is heading toward the general election to face Susan Collins. I don't really think this was ever much of a question. I had hoped maybe he'd perform worse because of all the stuff that's come out about him. He's the main Senate candidate who had a Nazi tattoo. It was horrible to women and all these things. Janet Mills, who, you know, she kind of somewhat suspended her campaign early on because she just said, I don't have the money, but her name was on the primary thing anyway. And so she got almost 20%, which is fine. But Graham Plattner got 74%. So he is going to be moving forth against Susan Collins. Trump talked about this. He had some harsh words for Mr. Plattner.
Because he's just an outright pig. He's like a pig. I watched him a couple of times. He's like a pig. That's what he reminds me of. You know, I come up with good names for people. I don't want to stick him with that one, although I think pigs would be very upset about it.
Now, look, I love you, Mr. President. I don't think the president has been a shining example of a gentleman either, you know. So I don't know that in this realm, Mr. Grab him by the pussy should be able to talk about Graham Plattner's piggish behavior. But, you know, the Nazi tattoo, I'm pretty sure Trump doesn't have one of those. So he definitely gets off in that regard. So, all right. Trump also, by the way, it's interesting because Trump is no fan of Susan Collins either. He said some pretty bad things about Susan Collins because Collins has not fallen in lockstep with the president on a lot of things. But he says in this case, he's supporting her ahead of Plattner, which is good.
Does she have your full support and endorsement in her
Senate? She does because she's a sane woman. She's not my best friend at all. These guys are. I get along well, but I have some. But she's a sane person. And she's a person that never missed a vote in many years. I mean, she's like had 10,000 votes. She had 10,000 votes. She never missed a vote. Unfortunately, because sometimes she voted against me.
He's so funny.
Look, she's a sane woman. And she's a respected person. Maybe a little different ideology than me. But this guy is a thug. He's a fake thug. He's a phony. I made a lot of money picking out phonies. He's a real phony. He's a bad person.
Yeah, I don't disagree. And I think that's really nice. You know, when they need to put it aside for the sake of numbers in the Senate and the House, both parties are pretty good at putting grudges aside or issues they might have with candidates aside, as we've seen with Graham Plattner. But yeah, he said she's sane. So that's nice.
Yeah.
He's so funny. I'm really going to miss Donald Trump when he leaves office.
The pig thing is just trying to be funny.
I know he's trying to be funny, but I have to be.
Look, I know, fair.
I got to call balls and strikes. The grab him by the pussy thing did happen, okay? That's not a made-up accusation against Trump. Now, whether he actually did grab women by the pussy, I don't know, but he said you could. They'll let you. Uh-huh. So
Anyway, locker room talk.
Right? Locker room talk. Yeah, tell Billy Bush that. He's still trying to remake his career. It just hasn't come
Poor Billy Bush.
Now, if that happened now, nothing would ever happen to him. Like, we're not as uptight even as we were, like, back when that happened.
Well,
that was the beginning of the we'll cancel you for anything. Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Yeah.
All right. We'll get to comments coming up next. First, if you are a landlord in the state of Washington, you really should be a member of the Rental Housing Association of Washington. They do so many things in the realm of housing policy in the state. They have some important lawsuits that they're helping lead the charge on in regard to property rights. They're in Olympia and really all year long advocating for your interests and for the interests of housing providers and just fair. What's fair? Some of these landlord-tenant laws have just gotten out of control. And so they're advocating for just fair policy that will help make sure that the housing supply is sustainable and growing in the state of Washington. And they can help you on an individual basis. If you're just having, you have questions about screening and forms and new laws and regulations, they can walk you through that. They are Washington's trusted resource, empowering housing providers, great friends of our show, rhawa.org, rhawa.org. All right. I do feel like I need to break the news to all of you right now that we're not going to be here next week.
That's true.
Yes, we're not going to be here next week. I'm taking a vacation with my husband. Nicole is not going to be here for 2 weeks. So Daryl will be in filling in for Nicole that second week.
Right.
But we have a fantastic series. You'll know that we went to Idaho and filmed a series on political refugees. And so that's going to be airing next week. So we won't miss any episodes of Sundays with Subscribers. We will have some awesome content for you next week. It might even be better than the regular show. You might say, don't come back. We love this so much.
Fun.
Yeah. So I'll be gone for a week and then I'll be back. Daryl will be in Nicole's seat and Nicole will be away in Greece, enjoying life. I'm not telling people where I'm going or if I'm going anywhere because, you know, I'll tell you afterwards.
Okay. Yes.
Yeah. Yeah.
So it was going to be, just in my defense, I don't like leaving you. I thought Brandy was going to be gone that week.
I had planned a longer vacation and then I cut it shorter.
And then cut it shorter, came back. I couldn't cut mine. So sorry.
That's all right.
I hate being gone.
Fine. I know. But you know,
it's going to be great.
We don't have another vacation planned until Christmas break. I don't think so. We only take like 2 a year, guys. Yeah. Give us a break. I already hear people in the comment like, what do you mean? We love that you love to hang out with us.
Maybe they should take a break too.
You should take a break too. Yeah.
It's supposed to be a very nice week next week, I believe.
Yes. Beats this morning. It was like a freaking downpour. All right. On Callie Keeler suing the state of Washington, Rochelle says, prayers to this young woman. Be strong. Stand up for those behind you. You're a pioneer. Yeah, she has more courage than every elected leader in our state who refuses to stand up for girls.
And then some, because there are a lot of people that need to start speaking out against things that are happening like this that are outrageous, because I'm getting so many emails about a couple different topics and people don't want to talk. I know it's hard and I know they could come after you, but it's worth it in the long run.
Yeah. And even if she says it's worth it, even everything she's been through, and she's a sophomore in high school.
Poor kid.
All right. H Bunnies. I do not understand where all the feminists are when this happens to our young women. Yeah. Matthew Cook. I'm going to take lawsuits for districts and states. It's going to take lawsuits for districts and states to knock this crap off.
It's
true. Is it though? Though is it? Because if they end up just having to do a payout, they don't care it's your money, but if they're forced to change the policies, that's when it makes a difference, obviously.
Yes.
But this will have to end up in the U.S. Supreme Court, because it's going to the U.S. District Court in Tacoma. You know, that's where I lost my injunction on my press passes. So I think this is something that'll have to wind up before the Supreme Court. Let's see. Alice Marie, it angers me that all the progress in female sports that my generation got through Title IX is in the trash. Yeah, it was weaponized against women. Title IX was used to, like, take something that was meant to protect women's ability to compete is now being used to stop women from being able to compete fairly. Jenny Wims, the poor women in K-12 having to deal with this BS political crap. Men hurting women in women's sports should be a no-brainer. I know. These people have lost their minds. They've lost their minds. Wah up. You don't completely screw over an entire generation because a few parents don't care or can't figure it out. Yeah, that might be about the cell phone thing.
Yeah.
Libertarians pushing back. Papa Woody, nobody wants to take anyone's rights away. We just don't shove it down our throats and leave our children alone, you weirdos. Leave our children alone. Oh, yeah. Nobody wants to take anyone's rights away. Just don't shove it down our throats and leave our children alone, weirdos.
Yeah, weirdos.
I Am the Real GQ says it's impossible to square rights of trans to invade female spaces with rights of females to have spaces. I agree. All right, on the signature gatherer who was attacked, oh, Chance Dexter says, I know him. Apparently, the gatherer had her face covered and began harassing him. There's more to the story. He supports the initiative. No political motivation. Interesting. So you say you know him. She had her face covered and began harassing him, like, out of nowhere. She just started harassing him. That doesn't make a lot of sense.
That doesn't make a lot of sense. And also, it still doesn't. Well, you can't take the ballot.
Yeah, you still can't take it. So if you... Yeah, and you still shouldn't assault a woman in that moment. No. So there might be more to the story, and we'd love to hear it. If you want to get in touch with us, email us through undividedpod.com, undividedpod.com. But I can't think of much that would give him a right to steal voter signatures and hit a woman. So please, they'll share it. Mm-hmm. Yeah, and I don't know about the political motivation. I mean, he didn't say anything negative about the initiative. And I said he didn't look like a liberal. So what was he doing? Joe Wilson, my question is, when do we truly start the fight for the hearts and minds of the kids? The left is winning and it's not even close. They are winning. I agree. Also on the initiative, Guy Haynes says this guy should be brought up on so many charges. Spinner not winner, full federal prosecution is deserved here. I don't think the feds can prosecute it because it's a state initiative. So I'm not sure, because I would love for the feds to step in, but I don't know if they have the ability to in something like this. On the Tara Simmons hearing, Nancy Campbell sponsored the boop for Chuck. Thank you, Nancy. Matt M., Poverty Olympics, spare me. Yeah, it's always like, who's a bigger victim?
Yeah.
Autumn Days, who cares about her past? You did something wrong, so own it. Self-imposed victimhood at its worst. Christina says, Christina, who made me my mug. Brandy, I can make another mug to batch the new unbelievable. No, no, no. This is the OG one, and so I'll always think of the OG one. Maybe I won't change it. I don't know. Abby Oliver, circus is struggling to find new clowns as top prospects continue to go into politics. Yeah, there's a lot of that.
That hearing is brutal. It's like 8 hours. 8 hours, 4 hours one day, 4 hours the next day. I watched way too much of it, and I still don't even understand it all. Which is wild. But yeah, her little, but I'm just trying to be a good former felon.
Well, violating ethics laws probably isn't the best example you could give to people who might come after you.
She not realize that her phone was subject to being seized like that?
I don't know, because there were other things in there too that it wasn't even worth getting into all of the minutia of it, and just the funnier parts. So all right, we'll get to our thank you Nicole sanity check coming up next. First, are you thinking about leaving Washington State? I would sure like you to stay, but if you are thinking sunny Arizona sounds nice, or Florida or Tennessee or Texas, or if you just want to move across the street or across the state, reach out to our friend Wes Jones at sellwithwes.com. Lon Westover, an undivided viewer, did, and he said he was just stunned by how well Wes was able to stage his home.
And they stage it in such a way that it's so inviting, super inviting. You're looking at the pictures going, huh, how come I never think about putting my out like that? You got to do some things that just spice the place up so people look at it and go, wow, this is something.
So go from Sell With West to Sold With West. Go to sellwithwest.com. You can peruse some of the recent listings that he's been able to sell for clients. And I was just talking to Wes a couple days ago, and he said, you know, even if you're 6 months out or maybe up to a year out, but you're just at the early stages, the market's interesting right now. A lot of listings going up for sale. And so you need to make sure that you take time to understand what it is going to take to sell your home for top dollar. So he said you can have the same results, you just might need to put a little more work in. So sellwithwest.com, sellwithwest.com. It really just is a better way to sell your home. And with that, let's get to our closing sanity check. All right, another doozy from President Trump. So President Trump signed the Secure America Act, which is the funding finally for ICE and Border Patrol. And he was really struggling with a nickname for Democrats.
I look forward to the day when I don't call them Democrats anymore. And I won't if they do their job. If they want to stop crime, if they want to lower taxes, if they want to do the common education, the good things. There's so many things we can do together. I look forward to the day that I don't call them Democrats anymore. There'll be that day, I think, I hope. But they're in Congress and they voted with the cartels, the terrorists, the gang members, the drug dealers, the human traffickers, the child predators, and our great Republican majorities voted to protect law-abiding American citizens.
Yeah, I mean, I don't like name-calling on this show, but he's hoping for the day he doesn't have to call them names. I feel like that's a step forward for the president. He hopes the day of sanity will be near. I'm not so sure. That has been our closing sanity check. That has been today's episode of Undivided. Thank you for being here. Thank you so much for your commitment to giving common sense a comeback. I want you to start your coping right now. Start it today that we're not going to be here next week. We'll still have Sundays with subscribers, all that stuff. We'll have special content, but you know, do what you need to do to cope with that reality, okay? We'll see you back here on the live show tomorrow at noon.